You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Friday, so that means Michigan's got a game coming up tomorrow. More than 24 hours away, because it is a night game. But we are back with the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And for the full show this week, we welcome on Brandon Justice, although I don't know if welcome is the right word, but he is here anyway. Brandon, you're here.
Hey, always a warm welcome. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So obviously,
happy Thanksgiving almost.
You got another 2 weeks before that. So
that's all right. Tis the season.
Well, then Happy New Year and Easter to you as well. So you're at home watching these games. Let's start off by talking about what you've seen from Michigan. Everyone's heard all week what I've seen. So you don't listen to anything I have to say, whether it's I'm sitting next to you or it's a podcast. It doesn't really matter. You're kind of in your own world, mostly with headphones on. So tell me, what are you seeing that's going wrong? What's your analysis for what's happened wrong for Michigan the last 2 weeks?
All right, first and foremost, I do listen to you more than you think. I just like to make you think a little bit harder. So, yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least. You think about, like, that first week after the Minnesota game, and it's almost like I want to punch myself. The current self from then, I want to punch him because I was really sold on that. After that first game, I was sold. And the past 2 years, I've been pretty cautious in opening games, or at least tried to be. And obviously the Notre Dame loss a couple of years back, but, you know, last year, Middle Tennessee State, and, just trying my best to be tempered with the whole thing, the start of the season. And I didn't do well with that regard. And what I've seen since then has just been the opposite of that, really. You know, that first week we just talked about the togetherness of the team and the designs, the adjustments offensively. And then defensively, it's been pretty much the same thing. We knew the secondary was going to be bad. I knew the corners, you know, that's one thing that from the jump I was like, okay, this is going to be bad. You know, Don Brown's never had to run an offense or a defense with two pretty below average cornerbacks. They've always been either elite or pretty close to that, at least one of them, and sometimes two of them. You talk about Jordan Lewis and Channing Stribling. So, I think it's just one of those things where this team is young defensively, and especially in the secondary, and inexperienced is probably a better word than young. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing it very clearly. Michigan's got a defensive coordinator who I think has sung his swan song, and it's inevitable at this point that this be it for him. I don't see anything that is going to work. I think Don Brown had a defense that got figured out, and when it got figured out, it was kind of done for. And it had a couple really good seasons. And I think Don Brown will be successful in probably either retirement or a mid-major type deal. But I think his time here has probably come to an end just based on the sample size of these first three games. Offense, I think, has some potential still. I don't think the offense is done. I think they do have a quarterback. I indeed still like Joe Milton. He just needs some help. The offensive line was depleted last week. But I think the story of the season has been the defense. The defense hasn't even given the offense a chance to win, especially in that Indiana game. So that's pretty much where I'm at with this team. I think defensively it's just a nightmare. The offense is not great, but there's at least something to work on. The defense is just a nightmare.
I at least think that if the offense, and I've been harping on the play calling for the last 2 weeks, just constantly trying to stick a square peg in the round hole, not really attacking what teams aren't good at. You know, you look at really it's the run game on both ends. You know, you look at what happened against MSU, and Michigan State has been historically and continually stout in the middle and bad on the perimeter. And Michigan didn't even try to attack the perimeter. Indiana was just not good about defending the run, and Michigan didn't even try. So that makes me question things with the offense, because you give up. I know they ended up giving up 38 or whatever to Indiana, but those last couple scores came late when Michigan was trying to get back into it. I mean, but with Michigan State scoring 24, 27, whatever it was, I mean, you should be able to outscore teams like that. That's the whole point. And I'm still just really disappointed in just the whole getting away from putting guys in a position to succeed. The defense is just a bigger mess, right? Like, it's the offense, at least you sit there and say, hey, if you go back to being, you know, actually smart instead of pretending to be smart, or trying too hard to be smart, then you've got yourself a chance. You know, the offense has pieces that theoretically, offensive line notwithstanding, which definitely has regressed with injuries and all kinds of things. But like, if you at least get back to the things that made you successful in week one offensively, which they've weirdly gone away from, then you have a chance to win every game on the schedule. And that includes Ohio State, as weird as that might sound, because you're not going to be punting a lot if you at least make smart choices. But that's been the issue, is they haven't made smart choices. This offense, I think, theoretically, with like a previous Michigan defense, could have been that much more formidable. But that's not where we are right now. And it's, you look at it at a complete team that just kind of doesn't seem to know where it wants to do. I agree with you with the Don Brown comments. I think teams have figured out, hey, if we get rid of the ball really fast, then we don't have to really worry about the blitzes and all of the stuff that he's trying to do. So that's where it's like, yeah, you need to find another avenue to make your defense good. The one trick pony has finally been figured out. And listen, he's still a great defensive coordinator, but these are teams he's played every year for, since 2016. And it's hard to continue to be able to beat those teams the same way every year. And he has mixed in zone, but it just hasn't been effective. Teams seem to have a pretty good idea of how to attack Don Brown's version of a zone defense as well. So let's continue it as we start to preview Wisconsin. I want your input as far as being a guy who actually does coach things, because there's a lot of questions coming up with this game that we're going to see here in a moment. But before we do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill, Brandon? Do you ever want to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? Well, these days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time with work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light, because it's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Back when I drank, that was the light beer I reached out for ever since 2003, July 4. Actually, technically, it was July 3rd that I bought my first six-pack of Coors Light. But ever since then, that was my go-to beer of choice. Certainly remember sitting there watching the 2010 iteration of the Michigan-Ohio State game and drinking more than should be humanly allowed. But, with Mountain Cold Refreshment, it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light's the one I used to go to and the one that Brandon Justice still goes to when he needs to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, Brandon. So before we get to our score predictions and everything, how we see this game unfolding, I need to ask you a little bit about you being a guy who coaches baseball, which obviously is different, but the tenets of coaching still kind of remain the same. What do you look at? How do you look at this situation for Wisconsin as they come to town and they haven't, they just started practicing again this week after 2 weeks essentially of not being able to practice? Like, when you look at that, like, how do you feel that, do you feel like they can come in and still just play their game? Is there, do you anticipate there would be a lot of rust? Like, what are the challenges there, and what do you anticipate as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, the designs that you come into the game with are the designs. And like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, it might have been last week, you know, as analysts, and I speak about myself as well, you know, in the past, we are pretty locked in on coming up with why things don't work on the field based on what's happening on the field in real time. But we don't think about, like, the preparation that goes into it. And that's really what's most important is the preparation. It's simulating those scenarios, you know. And the reason you simulate those scenarios is to see what works and what doesn't against certain schemes and, you know, certain other schemes. And that's more football than it is baseball, what I'm trying to adapt here. So you're really trying to see what works versus what doesn't. Now, the difference between football and baseball is a little bit – it's a lot more slowed down, obviously, the game itself, but also – the coach to player relationship in football, I feel, is, I guess, at least stereotypically, is far more intense, right? And the motivational tactics in football are far more in your face and old school, really. Like they still live in that old school way, which is fine. It's still what works in football. Football, you need to get guys ready to hit somebody. Baseball, I need to get a guy mentally relaxed. I need him to breathe. I need him to be ready for the moment, because moments in baseball are pitch by pitch, right? So we really have to forget about the last play. Football is a little bit different. Football is pretty much you got to win majority of the plays. In baseball, if you can get four pitches right in the game, you can hit four home runs. That's it. Just four pitches, you can make four runs, and at least a couple of those are not going to be solo home runs, right? So it comes down to just four pitches. So we're a little bit different in baseball rather than football in that regard. But from a football perspective, I think the preparation is still what's most important, right? And Wisconsin hasn't had any of that, right? Don't get me wrong. Now, is Michigan making the right decisions with their preparation is what the question is, because hey, Wisconsin can be as unprepared as you can get by way of not having a lot of practices. Now they have practice this week, right? I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Graham Mertz was able to return to practice on Wednesday.
Okay. So they've at least had something to get them there. Right. And the coaches, I would imagine the coaching staff at Wisconsin is pretty excellent, pretty detail oriented. So I'd imagine they've been working on a plan for a while. They've been texting their players for a while. Players have to be doing things on their own. There's 100% guarantee that there's some sort of group message with coaches, which is totally legal to give them things to do at home. Okay. So they're still taking care of their business at home. They're still studying their playbook. But obviously not being around them for a while, it hurts chemistry, right? Or it could at least. So you're going to pretty much see one or another thing happen for Wisconsin. They're either going to rally around the small pack of wolves, you could say, that they have coming to Michigan on short notice, a team that they know is against the wall, that is desperate for a victory. And then conversely, Michigan, did they prepare, right? I mean, Wisconsin can be as unprepared as possible, but did Michigan prepare right? They obviously have not for two straight weeks. So I think it really comes down to preparation, not just because Wisconsin hasn't had much of it, but also because Michigan hasn't done it at least right these past 2 weeks. So it's about who's more prepared. Michigan has the edge there because they've obviously had more days together and all of that. But two of those weeks that Wisconsin was off were, I don't know who had the advantage there. The 2 weeks of rest for Wisconsin or the 2 weeks of distress for Michigan. It's hard to tell who's going to rally around it. But that is certainly a point to bring up, and I think it's valid in that regard to bring that up, because it's a huge element of this game.
I mean, to that same point, and again, looking for your intel here, is you said like Michigan has been preparing wrong, which I fully agree with. Like when you go into a game like this and, you know, yeah, they have their backs against the wall, but how, and we don't know how much or how little the coaching staff has lost the locker room. If you hear them talk, I mean, they'll say all the right things. They're never not going to say the right things when it comes to that type of thing, but How much do you think that the locker room is impacted by the game plans and the losses that have happened in the last couple of weeks? And as a coach, how do you kind of get them on the same page and ready for this so that it isn't like oh no, here we go again, you know, the popular meme from Grand Theft Auto? Like, how do you keep them from having that reaction as a coach?
Okay, this is an analogy I like to use. I don't use it too often, but I do like using it when I can. So let's say I go up to you and I just give you a $500 TV. And you're just like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, $500. You never asked to buy for that, right? So you never bought in what I was giving you. Mm-hmm. So as a coach, you're giving this player this plan, this game plan, right? And I tell you what, they're not bringing in every player sitting down and saying, okay, boys, what do you want to do, right? They're not doing that. They're giving them a plan. They're giving them basically what they're going to do with them when the game comes. And then when the game comes, you actually see what that usage is. You actually see what that scheme is. Okay. But you cannot give a player something to do, an order, without him buying in first. Mm. You have to give him a reason to buy into what you're doing. You have to give him a valid effort to buy in. I'm not saying Michigan hasn't made that effort, right? But these players don't look bought in at all. And as coaches, you have to, you absolutely have to give your player a reason to want to play for you, the same way that you made them give you a reason to give them that offer to go there, that scholarship to go there, and that roster spot. Okay, it's an equal playing field, and they don't look bought in. Now that could very well be a player problem. Don't get me wrong, that could be something where there are guys not buying in, and the coaches are making the valiant effort. I don't know. We're not in there. But what I can tell you is, from a coaching standpoint, you can't just lay out this game plan and expect it to just work, and when it doesn't, go back to something maybe a little bit different without talking to your players. Every player in that locker room has a skill set. They go to Michigan. They don't go to a middle of the way school. Okay, they go to Michigan. They all have a skill set that got them there, that the scholarship ones, okay? They want to be – it's not like they want to be used, but they need to be used to their best trait. You need to work with what your personnel gives you, which is obviously, in this case, offensively speed, defensively a little bit of speed as well, with a lack thereof in the defensive back system a little bit. But that's what needs to happen. You need to have a halfway point, okay, where your players are – you got to look at your players like this. Hey, we're 1-2. We are out of the playoff race. We are out of the conference race. So let's all look at each other right now. Okay. And let's figure out what we got to do, because as a coaching staff, you got to realize, hey, I have not done my job, because 1-2 isn't just the players. 1-2 is not just the players. There's got to be accountability. And we keep talking about accountability, and I hate to bring it up again, but I'm going to, it's got to be something where, hey, I buy in, you buy in, let's meet halfway and let's do this damn thing. And that's really what, in my opinion, a good mechanism to go by, is because you can't just put something in front of somebody and say, here, buy it. You have to give them a reason to buy it, not sell it more or less, but you have to give somebody a reason to buy into your system. And that's when you get guys to play hard. That's when you get guys to believe in you.
All right. Well, that's taking kind of a look at the psychology of it all. Let's take a look at Wisconsin here in a moment. But first, and this is something you and I are talking about off air briefly, about how great Built Bar is. Brandon, you haven't tried it, but you reached out to one of your friends in the fitness industry, and they just raved about it, as you said. Listen, like, to those who haven't bought in, speaking of buying in, I've put my money where my mouth is. I've bought several boxes. I don't remember how many at this point, but it's 5+. I'm a giant fan of what Built Bar has to offer. It's a protein bar that's high in protein, low in calories, low in carbs, delicious, tastes like a candy bar. I'm a big fan of the almond coconut, personally. You know what? We're going to do something new to show you how serious I love Built Bar right here, right now. So I am going, assuming my internet works, I am on BuiltBar.com. They have a maple pecan here available. That sounds delicious. Click here to order now. I'm choosing 18 bars. I'm adding it to cart. This is a limited release, folks. Check out. I've got that all set to go. We're putting in my promo, putting in first my contact information, because obviously I need to have that all ready to go here. Put in my address. Got that all set up. Save my information. Promo code locked on. That's the important one. That's going to give me 20% off of my order. There, just went from 38 or something to 28. So it took $10.20 off. So it was actually ended up being 30%. Continue to shipping. Almost there. I'm selecting the free shipping. Continue to payment. Put in my credit card. So that's all set. Different billing address for me, unfortunately, so it's going to take another second here. Pay now. Order's being processed. That's right. I just bought another box of BuiltBar.com right here with you on the podcast. That's how much I love it. So again, go to Built Bar. Did you?
I did.
What flavor did you get?
I got maple. You said maple pecan. I went straight to it. That's my favorite flavor.
So two of us just bought Built Bar with you listening. So BuiltBar.com, put in promo code Locked On, get apparently 30% off of your order doing so. Again, BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On. All right, Brandon, let's talk about Wisconsin. Graham Mertz looked really good in his only game that we've seen so far, but he's been without practice for a while here. But nonetheless, going off of what we've seen from him, how much do you feel, and he was a former five-star, but how much do you feel that it was a product of him being that good or a product of playing a bad Illinois team or both?
Graham Mertz is good. Graham Mertz is very good. I think his stat line was a product of playing Illinois, because that's an insane inflated stat line for your first game. And a lot of the throws he had to make were relatively easy in that game. So I'll give some credit to playing a terrible team, but Graham Mertz is good. And we've heard about him from the jump. We knew he was going to be good. It wasn't really a question that he was going to be good. To be that good was obviously surprising no matter who you are. But regardless, Graham Mertz is good. I'm pretty bought in on Graham Mertz, and I don't know if he's playing or not, but because I really am not plugged in here, but
even if you were, you wouldn't know.
What was that? Yeah, even if I were, I wouldn't. Yeah. You're exactly right.
And that's not a knock on you. That's literally just what no one knows for sure. We won't know if Graham Mertz is playing until he takes the field.
Well, that's a you just got a genuine reaction out of me thinking you were messing with me, which was funny. But now it's not funny because that's not good, obviously, to have COVID. But yeah, if he plays, then this is definitely a Wisconsin win. I'm just going to throw that one out there because it's obvious. If you have a good quarterback against this defense, until further notice, it's going to be a win for the other side, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm completely bought in on Graham Mertz. I think he's great.
Well, I'm curious to see. I'm not going to go ahead and say it's an automatic win, but, I mean, Wisconsin has the second year in a row that, based off of this time an even more limited sample size, Wisconsin has the number one defense in the country. That Michigan's going up against them. Again, they played a not good, not currently winless Illinois team. Michigan's not much better being 1-2, but Michigan's shown more signs of life as far as its offense. I think there's still a key to victory, even if the secondary's still a mess, and it just relies on the offense being smarter, the offense taking what the defense gives you. Earlier this week on the show, we had Asher Lowe, who runs Badgers Wire and does Locked On Badgers podcast, and he said that the quarterback run, particularly even with Illinois, really hurts the Badgers time and time again. Michigan needs to run Joe Milton. What last week I was like, Michigan needs to use Joe Milton's arm. Well, they did that a little bit more, but then they didn't run him. Michigan needs to use Joe Milton in every way he is capable of being used, right? Like for a team that loves to talk about balance. They need balance. He needs to not necessarily run the ball as much as he's throwing the ball, but I'd say one out of every three times that he's doing something other than handing off to another running back, he needs to run the ball. And Michigan just, again, like they have weapons at their disposal that they just choose to not use. The run game in general last week, and who knows what they're going to get from the pass rush. I see that Brandon Brown from SI is reporting that Quiddy Pay is out this weekend. Take that for what it's worth. I find the SI's insider stuff to be incredibly hit or miss. But that wouldn't surprise me if Quiddy Pay is out after suffering an injury last week. So it gets a little bit harder as far as that's concerned, as far as getting that pass rush, which wouldn't help the secondary at all. But nonetheless, I think the offense can actually utilize the weapons it has at its disposal, something it did amazing in week one and absolutely ignored the next 2 weeks, then you've got a shot. So I'm not going to go as far as saying that it's all on Graham Mertz playing or not playing, keeping in mind this is still his second ever game. Unfortunately, he won't be going up against a Michigan defense that looks anything like the Michigan defense we've seen the last couple of years. So unless suddenly those blitzes start getting home, you start seeing Cam McGrone and Josh Ross have a much bigger game. Michael Barrett. Barrett had an amazing game in week one. So if they can get back on track there, then maybe they can still get pressure. I really like Taylor Upshaw and Luigi Villain, who are likely to get a ton more playing time this week. So final prediction time. Brandon, feel free to give me more than one, believe it or not, when it comes to your final prediction. Because when I went on Locked On Big Ten earlier this week, I couldn't just give one because to me it was a multiple scenario situation because we don't know what's going to happen. But you know, if you want to give me one, you want to give me two, depending on what scenario happens as far as Wisconsin is concerned. Have at. But let's hear what you think is likely to happen in this game.
All right, yeah, I'll go two scenarios. Let's go with or without Mertz. I think with Mertz, it's just the same old story the past couple weeks here. You know, you got a really talented quarterback who is probably going to toy with the pass defense. That is assuming that we get the same style defense that we've seen in the past 2 weeks. Like I said, college football is crazy and it's silly. And, you know, some weeks teams just come out playing completely different. Now, if there are true adjustments and, you know, maybe we see an Andre Seldon out there, so you have some speed to keep up with these receivers rather than guys that keep getting beat off the jump, you know, then that might change things. But in a situation where there's Graham Mertz healthy, you're talking about a quarterback who is a very good quarterback, granted his second game, but a very good quarterback with arm talent. And that's about all it takes to beat this Michigan defense right now. And we know Wisconsin has dudes up front. I don't know how many they're missing, but I know that Wisconsin's second dude is probably better than Michigan's third, in my opinion. Not that Michigan's line is bad. It's just depleted with injury right now. And I think Wisconsin does something really well as a coaching staff. They always play to the strengths of their team, and they always use that to bully the other side when they know they have that strength difference. The only time that really doesn't work for them is against Ohio State. And the only time it doesn't work against Ohio State, it's still pretty close, right? So Wisconsin's just one of those teams, man, where I can't see this Michigan team beating them with Graham Mertz. And then we talked about without Graham Mertz, and it gets a little bit more interesting. I do think Joe Milton is still very good. I think if you can give Joe Milton the sword of Gryffindor and let him kind of lead the way and actually do some things rather than keeping him timid and then forcing him to make dangerous throws late in the game like we saw last week, and that's where those picks kind of came. I don't know if Joe Milton is ready for that 4 minute drive down two touchdowns comeback type mood yet. Just yet. I think that if you let him loose early and you get that padding a little bit, early on, then that can change things. But when you're so conservative in the beginning of the game and you're so reliant on inside zones instead of actually trying to experiment with your run game, like you did against Minnesota so successfully, then it's going to be the same thing if those same things keep happening offensively and defensively now. So with Graham Mertz, I think it's definitely Wisconsin win. Without Graham Mertz, I'm still leaning Wisconsin. I just think Michigan has a greater shot if they use their skill sets, if they use Joe Milton, if they use the speed on the outside. Look, inside zone's not working. You know, you don't got a bully in the middle, right? And then defensively, you definitely don't have a bully in the middle of the defensive line either, which is throwing everything up for question. I just think Michigan's overmatched in this game. They don't have the D-line to match up with the Wisconsin O-line. They don't have the corners to match up with receivers, which is usually always the other way around against Wisconsin. And the running back for Wisconsin, whose name I don't know, is probably going to be really good like every other Wisconsin running back. So it's just hard to see Wisconsin coming short in this game, except for the element of preparation and not being together for 2 weeks and the whole thing, yada, yada, yada. I get all of that. Michigan could – I would not be surprised if Michigan won this game. They don't have anything to lose. We've never seen a Jim Harbaugh team with nothing to lose, really, except for that Ohio State game with John O'Korn, where they actually were in the game for a while, like pretty much till the end. So we'll see something interesting. But I think with Mertz, I got Wisconsin winning 38-28. And then I think without Graham Mertz, you're more like – I would probably take Michigan's – No, I'm still taking Wisconsin, 35-31, right around there. I think Michigan puts up like 28-31 regularly every game, but they keep limiting their offensive skills and their offensive stars, you're going to continue to not score as many as you should. So that's where I'm at. I just think if I have any advice for Michigan, if I had any advice, if I could literally go in the room and tell them something, I would just say, hey, stop running inside zone so much. It's not working. Like, start to hit the outside. Get creative like you did against Minnesota. Stop shutting the playbook. And it's hard to think that that's Gaz. So that's just my take. It's hard to think that that's Gaz doing that.
I know it is Gaddis, but at the same time, like, it's still, you know, they just got to figure out how to play better, do better. Final. So you gave me your final score, at least of the main prediction. I mean, I'm with you in the sense that I expect Wisconsin to win this game. I think I predicted 38-24. Maybe it was 38-28, something like that. No, it was 35-24, I believe. Is what I predicted. Wisconsin's going to score points. I think the question now that we have to look at is, will Michigan be able to? Now, that's my main prediction, assuming Mertz and the bulk of their starters play. They say they're going to be without 10 about double-digit players who we don't know who those players are and how important they are to the team. Listen, last time Michigan played primetime ABC, it went really well, obviously, against Minnesota. If they bring back the game plans that they had, and I know that, you know, you're already looking at two starters out on the defensive line. You might be looking at two starters out on the offensive line. It's not good to not have those bookends. But Michigan has still, regardless of everything, more talent in my eyes than anyone not named Ohio State. I'm never going to stop saying that because it's true. It's just the talent is being misutilized. So if it's utilized correctly, anything can happen. And that includes a similar game to what we saw about a year ago when Michigan took on Notre Dame, a Notre Dame team that many anticipated was going to come in and beat Michigan. And it didn't happen that way. It went obviously hard the other way. So while my official prediction is 35-24, Wisconsin, I have no idea what to expect. And that even includes if Wisconsin is full strength. Let's just say hypothetically, Wisconsin comes in and every one of their starters is there and they all play, you know, they don't show much rust or whatever. A Michigan team that plays a good game has a chance against anybody not named Ohio State, but we've only seen it 1 out of 3 weeks so far. So that's where I stand. I have no idea what to expect tomorrow. We are way over time now that I look at where we stand. So we're going to wrap it up with that. Brandon, thanks for joining. We'll be back next week to preview Rutgers. And I know you're super amped up about that. That's your home team. That's your brethren. That's your spirit animal.
We talk about basketball next week.
No. Anything New Jersey is your spirit animal, Brandon. So you should be excited.
I am.
All right. Brandon, how do they find you? How do people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Brandon B. Justice, but you got to request access, VIP. I might unlock it this weekend. We'll see.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll talk to you sometime early next week, sometime being Monday. Peace.